My name is Tish Shute, and I'm going to start with a short talk called Live the Game, A Lifestyle with a Gaming Sense. And I began my career in visual effects for film and television, and most recently I founded Augmented Reality Event and Hugo Trade. But my whole career I've worked across the virtual, the physical and the virtual. And after I talk, we're going to have a short talk from Peter Swearengin, who's sitting here. Unfortunately, I grabbed the clicker, so he got stuck there. Sorry, Peter. He's going to talk on crowdsourced television, from crowdsourced television to urban adventuring. And please stick around, because in the second half of this session, the co-founder of Stupid Fun Club, Mike Winter, is going to introduce a high-intensity tablet game from the Stupid Fun demo team. And there will be prizes signed by Will, so definitely something worth waiting for. If you're wondering what this title means, Reality Architect, I did a talk on that. So after the session, not in the middle of the session, feel free to Google on becoming a reality architect. Personally aware games. What if you were a sim and your needs were visible to your friends? I've been working with Will Wright on a new genre of personally aware games for, I think, since last summer. And one of the things that Will says, and frequently in his talks, games are becoming more and more personal to the point that our actual lives are the most interesting gaming platform. So games are about exploring the possibilities, the range of free movement in a system. More words of wisdom from Will. I've learned so much working with him, so I want to try and share some of that as well as my own excitement in this topic. But one of the problems in finding the free play in the system in our lives is our lives are so confusing, they're very messy, they're very complicated, they're very contradictory. And this is a friend of mine, Aisha Bursal, she's a wonderful product designer. She actually designed a very awesome, the most comfortable toilet in the world. But more recently, she's been turning her attention to this idea of designing the life you love and applying design tools, deconstruction, reconstruction, and visualization to your own life, not necessarily to make a better life, but to make a more original life. And this is a deconstruction, reconstruction of her own life. And Aisha came to Stupid Fun Club, and we all did this workshop together. It was pretty awesome. There are little nuggets of truth that the designer has found and packaged for the player. Jonathan Blow said this in his Designing to Reveal the Nature of the Universe workshop at Indiecade. If you were there, that was a wonderful, wonderful workshop. But what are these? Actually, I missed a slide. Sorry. I missed telling you something I wanted to say about this slide. Climbing walls. Climbing walls are really interesting because they give us a chance to play with the system in a way that most of us couldn't on a wild mountain. A toy or a system like a climbing wall gives you a sense of agency and a chance to play with a system that might be beyond your reach in the wild world. And as designers of life-based games or personally aware games or integrated games, it's a new genre, we haven't settled on the exact name, we have to think about this tension of turning things into toys to give people a chance to play with the nuggets of truth or keeping to these truths of the system. If you've ever seen the TED Talk by Matthew Childs on nine life lessons you can learn from rock climbing, I highly recommend that. Playing with the intimate social dynamics of life, follow the alpha players. If you've ever heard Tim O'Reilly speak, he often says, follow the alpha geeks if you want to know what's coming in the future of technology. Well, if you want to know what's coming in the future of life games, follow the alpha players. Neil Strauss spent nearly 2 years integrating himself into the secret society of pickup artists and looking at the rules of their games and the way they played with social dynamics in order to become great players at the art of pickup. Of the art of picking people up. And he's turned this into a series of books and a party game called Who's Got Game? So what game designers and everyone can learn from psychics and mind readers? A lot. Actually, Will recommended this book to me, and I've been pretty fixated on it ever since. Cold reading. Anyone here never heard of cold reading? So you all understand cold reading. It's the way that you can get pretty close. It's not just really an illusion. It really does get you close to the a sense of mind reading, or actually in a relationship with someone, if you're a psychic or even a con artist might use these techniques, that you really know much more about them than you do. And this co-constructed conversation will kind of, you know, put together a reality between the two of you. Games and improv. Anyone ever heard of the Life Game? Ah, yay! anyone heard of Improviso by Gambit from MIT Lab? Yes! Yes. Okay, so as you know, the improv has actually been pretty inspirational to game designers. Improviso is only one example. RPG players have long mined the techniques of improv to open up RPG games. But I think this, improv, I was actually, some CMU students came to Stupid Fun Club, and one of them asked Will, what should I study to be a better game designer? And he said, improv. Friends are people who agree to play status games with each other. So understanding these kind of status games that are at the heart of improv is probably pretty key for a life game designer. And yes, they are the zest of life. And I probably think this slide needs no explanation. With this, I'm going to control your life. The goal of all civilization, all religious thought, and all that sort of thing is simply to have a good time. Time, location, social, and interests are powerful filters, but a good time is a slippery concept. So I think one of the problems with life games is they could be about everything. In this talk, I'm trying to focus on what might be powerful filters for either designer or a player of life games. And we know about location, social, and interests. I think we're beginning to see a lot of apps pulling that in. But time is a slippery concept. If you're anyone familiar with Braid? Yay! So then you're aware that this is an amazing game that uses, looks at the, manipulates time dynamics in different worlds in different ways. But time is manipulated in the real world, and different eras and different places have different time dynamics. Time in a network culture. This is, as William Gibson says, we're in a radically atemporal culture. That's the very nature of a digital culture. Great talk. If you want to understand temporality, what it means for designers and creative artists, Bruce Sterling's talk is the place to go. Atemporality for the creative artist. Atemporality, if you wanted a bumper sticker, is like steampunk with metaphysics, role-playing games in real spaces. And how these are different from Renaissance fairs and civil wars in reenactments is they're really integrated into the street life and the flow of the present. In Tokyo, cosplayers, costume players get together at this kind of commuter hub, and it is transformed from a non-place to a place. This is a new form. It isn't really the same as Renaissance fairs and things like that. I put this slide in because I think this is something Bruce said. Why not design a fiction as life? Well, that's kind of this sense of atemporality where the present is what counts and everything flows into the present. But this is a brilliant design of fiction kind of video, gonzo design of fiction film, I think is a good way to describe it, done by the Near Future Design Fiction Workshop. It's worth noting because it's kind of letting go of the tools, the fancy tech and visual effects, and doing a design of fiction that is really bringing the future down to street level. That's what life-based games, I think, are about. They're not, although I come from augmented reality, this isn't about fancy visual effects on top of reality. It's much more this kind of design of fiction. So please check that out. I want to shout out for a few apps that I think are pushing out into this area in interesting ways. This is Weaver's personality-based social web robots. Follow at Zero Influencer. He might be here, but if he's not, and you'll learn more about these. I also want to give a big shout out for RJDJ's new app, Dimensions. Anyone know RJDJ? Yes, awesome, awesome company. Michael Brennbrecker, the founder, one of the founders of Last FM, they did a wonderful app, Inception, working with Christopher Nolan. It got 4 million downloads. This is their new venture. Dimensions really responds to your environment. It takes the sensor data from your phone, your movement, the sound around you, and creates a sonic adventure game. This, to me, is one of the first sort of manifestations of this genre to come. Please, tomorrow, if you want to continue the convo, come to the Integrated Games Gaming Cabal tomorrow at 1:30 p.m., Old School Bar and Grill. And it's Meet Gatsby, Stupid Fun Club, Tap City, Doko Bot, Shadow Cities, Hitchery, Spontaneously, and Time Hop. We've organized this, and White Whale Games, I hope we will see you there too, because there is an ecosystem developing around this, and it will only come from an ecosystem. So people who are interested, please come. And so join me tomorrow there. At O'Reilly's Wear Conference, Will Wright will be giving a keynote. And at ARE 2012, that's the event I organize in May 8th and 9th, augmented reality event. There will be Bruce Sterling, there will be Will Wright, there'll be a lot of visual AR, but there will also be some focus on this less visually focused genre of life games. And now I want to hand over to Peter Swear Engine. Do you want the clicker? You don't have the mic, so.
I've got my my laptop here. So Tish grabbed the lab, so I'm at the talking head position in the table. My name is Peter Swearengin. I'm a designer and producer. I'm kind of a designer come lately at the Stupid Fun Club. I've been a producer for Will Wright for several years. And as a game designer, I find it very fascinating that I consider myself for many years more of an experienced designer than specifically a game designer. So this feels to me like a good time to be in games with the expansion of games into, as Tish was describing, lifestyle. So I'm going to talk about a project we're working on without really showing it to you and give you kind of a direction we're headed and let you draw some conclusions. Those of you who are familiar with StoryMaker, a product that we created 2 years ago, and last year showed a television show. The answer we were trying to get to was, can a TV audience create a compelling television series? Current TV hosted this 12 episodes. To begin with, going back one game further, Spore. I don't know how many of you played Spore or checked it out. The interesting thing about Spore is that it was a creativity-based game. Evolution was the theme, but creativity was the action that every player was deeply involved in. We gave players tools and equipment to create 3D models, beginning with creatures, animate them, play with them, share them. And what we found is, of course, that creativity is actually a very compelling thing. Maybe we didn't realize it. We predicted, a few thousand creatures might be shared on the Sporepedia in the first couple weeks, and we had over 1.5 million. Now, I think Will actually conjectured that within 3 or 4 weeks we would exceed the number of species on Earth, and actually we did beyond that. We had roughly 40 million creatures in a month. Now, some of these we had to remove, and that was, again, a learning experience for us. We had to determine, yes, not all creativity is necessarily something we want to share. But nevertheless, creativity is itself intrinsic. These days in game design, and in particular location-based gaming, we talk about extrinsic rewards, coupons, bonuses, whatever we can offer people. But I think we really want to say to the Stupid Fun Club that let's look for intrinsic rewards for people. Why do they want to play? What are they getting out of it personally? Creativity is a strong thing that we want to stick with. So another assumption we want to bring into this effort is that notion that language is a virus. Language evolved for the purpose of handing ideas, passing ideas between generations, between populations. Therefore, by conclusion, you would figure this storytelling is the equivalent of the common cold, a very infectious medium. Now, if we look at our larger social web, what we call the social web, we have an excellent infection system, a great way for passing what we call memes from person to person or group to group. It tends to emphasize quantity over quality. So that's the main problem we want to try to solve. The Storymaker, because it was designed for television, is a storyboarding tool. We allow users, non-artists, to create scenes using images from Google Search, Flickr, and type descriptions among them, underneath them, set them out in a series we'd call a storyline, and that would comprise 22 frames comprising 44 minutes of a episodic television. Add to that the ability to use other people's scenes or other people's storylines and branch from those storylines and create new possible outcomes, convergences, subplots. And what grew from that we call the web of stories. Everything begins with a single frame, the inciting event, the opening scene, and expands out to the range of possibilities. So therefore, our challenge is to find the best possible storyline among all this web of possibilities. How do we resolve the quality problem? Okay, so we look to nature. Networks are everywhere. We have examples of networks in the growth of trees, hence the term story tree in our model as well. Neurons, the growth of neurons in the brain. What solutions has man come up with in the past to manage the growth and direction of these networks? Well, we have arborists and we have alternatives to the brain cells. We had to create what we call curation tools for the story web. We allow users to reflect on scenes, like, dislike, ban something they find unpleasant. sorry for the reference to the scissors. Those of you who are sensitive to the earlier slides. So we launched this product as a beta to a small community of friends and family and asked them to, say, come up with a pilot for this new episodic television series that would be audience created. What they observed in the creation of these storylines and pages of shared stories is that scene to scene, action is driving the movement. Consequence of one action of actions in one scene lead to the next scene, and they said, "Well, this looks like karma to us." So the answer they gave to us was, "Well, the first scene should be a man walks into the bar. This bar is a place in the universe that anyone with completely messed up karma would be sent in order to resolve this problem. So the inciting event in the episode is a man walks into a bar. What has he done, or she?" And that led to an explosion of new possibilities. The stories we got, we had over 4,000 complete scenes, roughly 250 storylines, and 12 episodes came from that. You can watch that occasionally, I think, on current TV and online. So where do we go next? We learned from Storymaker about creativity, about attachment. People who created stories were very attached to seeing their friend, having their friends watch it, watching the episodes unfold on television. What patterns exist in the world that we could try to emulate? That's when we looked around at the world and saw roads, streets, city maps. Roads exist for connecting people to each other, for connecting goods and services and ideas. Why not take that and apply story making to that? Where scenes themselves could be experiences, the equivalent of experiences, and storylines could be the equivalent of a pathway or a road. Therefore, my passage from Midtown through the rain over the bridge to the Palmer Center itself completes a storyline in which I had several experiences, some of them unpleasant, taking the wrong turn. And what emerges to us then is that the world is one ambient, large ambient storyline. Intersecting stories, intersecting experiences, shared experiences, and opportunity to share. What we'd like to do with this next project is really learn how to storytell the ambient environment. Discover things about the world around us. See the nooks and crannies. See the places that we don't notice even though we pass them every day. Build a giant urban story fractal. And that's a Will Wright term. So the outcome should hopefully be an opportunity to re-explore the place where I live right now today. And then what we can do is move on to the business of curating the world story. Thanks. So the next presentation is Mike and the winter team.
there'll be another chance to ask again if you want now while they set up, if you need some questions. But if you're ready to move on, then move on too.
I don't know if this is an appropriate question, but have you seen any opportunities to embed your approach with different economies?
You mean like emerging economies or online economies? Yeah, well, okay, there's part of that. It's the extrinsic world. And as game designers, we would still want to make sure that we're focusing on what's valuable to people in the experience in itself. If that extends to the global or, you know, local economy, that's even more valuable, right? So in a sense, local retailers, businesses, if I have something to sell, that's about me finding the right person to buy it.
I would say certainly. Oops, wow, loud. I would say certainly. I mean, if you're talking about life game based games, economies are a huge part of our life. All the transactions, the daily, our daily relationship with goods and products and the real world, it's inevitable. I mean, how that becomes part of the gameplay is obviously one of the most interesting parts of this. And I think it's actually where what we do is quite different. What we want to do is quite different from what's been happening, say, with a Yelp or a...
There's a mic for questions up there, too, if you want to.
Can you pick up our interest, though, from retailers, or is it too...
It's too early. It's too early. I think they're going to have to, like, climb the ramp a little bit. Again, that's where players should be getting value from it. Then retailers will start to say, well, why aren't we part of this? Because they are part of that world.
Mm. I think I like that. I didn't have time to play the video, but if you look at the convenience store, it's a lovely idea of imagining a near future of actually the kind of world of goods that we all live in and how that, you know, can be part of a designer fiction too. So I think beginning to think of what's a designer fiction for retail is a good way to think about it more than, you know, where do brands stand in this, right?
Well, I wonder, especially with the behind digital wallets.
Yeah. Well, I think that is part of also why we've moved from kind of like life games in improv and things like that into network culture. What do they mean? I mean, you're asking really interesting questions. I mean, and I think you can't answer them by saying, oh, we'll be just like Yelp or Foursquare or whatever. It's something new, and that's what's the fun part.
One of the things I've studied off and on for years is malls, because I find them, they're perfect laboratories for human experience and human behavior. You might want to use a mic. The mall is designed to jar your senses right when you start, right? And confuse you and bright lights and everything that like, you know, has been perfected in casinos as well is applied to retail. I think what we want to do is give an opportunity to recreate that space by consumers. Let consumers define what their mall experience should be. Then my value is going to be directly, you know, if I'm looking for interesting way to shop for a new coat, to eat, to pass through in a part of downtown I've never been to, I would like my friends to help me. I would like strangers to help me put that experience together, create a narrative around it. And redefine it. Take away the architecture of the mall and make it individual and personal and creative.
So having looked at integrated gaming for some clients, myself as a designer and stuff, one of the first things that I encountered that I've been trying to work around is this notion of inducement and the liability that could come with it. You know, there's moral, there could be legal, actually. I mean, so we've been trying to figure out how we keep you in the real world, but don't give you the sense that we're liable for your actions. Mm. Besides a EULA, I mean, it's not a EULA issue. Yeah. Really working around that. Have you encountered these issues and started to think about them?
Well, I think they're, just to sort of go big picture with it first. I mean, do you remember when it first came up that we were going to use our credit cards online? Ah, terror. And I think that's part of the process. You're all aware of what's going on at South by. You can't. I mean, my phone is dinging every 2 seconds. I had to turn it off because, you know, I've got Banjo, I've got Voxer, I've got Glancy, I've got Highlight, I've got Foursquare. I mean, just because I'm trying out some of these experiences that are pushing the edge of how much we want to share our worlds with each other and what we're actually doing in the now. So I think there's no simple answer to your question. I think perhaps because you're sort of like talking about a client that is giving you a certain frame. But I think...
Well, I'm also speaking in my own sense as a parent.
Yes.
My son's playing a game like this, and you incentivize him to go somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's, so what we've done is try to get away from maps, real-world maps, because for young kids. Because
I think there's a legal model for this that we encountered in Spore and then had to proceed with in Storymaker, which is when it's audience-curated, the audience takes responsibility. On Spore, there were plenty of unpleasant creatures and things created. If anyone flagged it, said this was inappropriate, we would guarantee to review it and then take it off. If you flag it, you never see it again. So at least it's removed from your site. The same mechanism was applied, and legally it seemed effective. All the legal teams were reviewing at EA.
Right, so. Push back. Spore is not an integrated game.
Yes, okay, yeah.
That's true. There's more risk, perhaps.
Right.
Well, maybe that's where your friends come in.
Well, but I think to speak to that question, because we don't have a ton of time, we'll begin it after, and we'll come. Please come to the integrated.
I already signed up.
Great, because we're going to discuss a lot of this. I think there's a lot of projects out like there right now. Are you familiar with Jeremy? Jeremy's the Locker Project and Singly's Locker Project,
sure.
Right? I think, you know, that we're all pushing for solutions in this. It's about putting people at the center of their data so that they can take control of their options of where they want to be visible, where they don't want to be visible. It's solvable. It's something that's in the air. It's something under discussion. I think Singly's one of my favorites in terms of their approach. Mm-hmm. But there's a number of projects now kind of, you know, pushing at this. So I think we might have to move on because we don't want to... Isn't it? It's 2 minutes. So we have one question, quick question.
I would just reiterate that individual data control is key to getting over this next hump. And maybe that's collective data control as well. We have to recognize the importance and value of our data and push politically, commercially, to re-own that. And then, okay, yes, Stupid Fun Club will dedicate itself to creating tools that are creative and viable. When you're looking at your massive data and you think, oh, my God, there's too much here to manage, okay, well, we're going to create visualization efforts, but we definitely need people who support this, who say, yeah, I want to own my data. So, you know, spend your time on Facebook, on, you know, everything else, and check your sharing, check your privacy controls, and let people know you do it.
Yeah. Last quick question. Which people nearby app are anyone using around here? Banjo? Hands? Nope. No one's trying these things out. Highlights? Highlight? Okay. Glancy? No. Interesting. I mean, that's too few people, but that's a topic we'll discuss tomorrow, too, at the Integrated Gaming
Company. Has anyone heard of Way or Journey? Way was just announced at GDC and got an IGF award, so I want to give a shout-out to the team. Chris Bell, who has actually worked at Stupid Fun Club for a while. Games very much about emotional connections, forming emotional connections between people, and I also think that's really important and something we want to build at the club.
Oh, and another quick shout out before we end. There's a session over at the convention center immediately following this, Engineering Serendipity to Instigate Delight. And there's going to be a few people on this panel, but I want to give a shout out to Meet Gatsby because they're one of these companies working across this kind of social graph interests and location, doing great work, and there'll be other companies there like Sona doing the same thing. And this discussion, I'm sure, will be very foregrounded there. So run over. It's at 5. We should move on. Yes. Thank you. Oh, yes. Okay. I will introduce the next... Yes. Should we swap mics? Well, this is Mike Winter, co-founder of Stupid Fun Club, and purveyor of massive amounts of stupid fun.
Okay, so we need your help a little bit today. I'm going to ask a few questions first. Who got wet today in the rain? Okay, these are important. Okay, very good. Who considers themselves adventuresome in that group? Excellent. And who enjoys danger in that group? Okay. Fantastic. Okay, so that's stupid fun club. We're very interested in mixing the virtual and the physical, and we're working on a tablet game right now and that does that. And we don't know if this game has any validity in the world, probably not. It's certainly stupid, and hopefully you might have some fun with it. And what we'd like to do is show you that game and show you how the tablet game works, and then see if you would like to participate. And if you accomplish a simple task, you may be given a semi-valuable prize signed by Will Wright, so that will make it valuable. One of our secret decoder ring, or decoder coins, rather, and possibly, if you do something really spectacular, an ant farm that projects scary ants onto the ceiling that Stupid Fun Club produced. So, what I would like to do right now is to do a demonstration of how the tablet game works, and then see if we still have any volunteers left to do it. So,
turn your mic.
Oh, I don't know how to Okay. Can you hear me now?
Wow. Okay. So we will give a demonstration. Watch carefully, and then if you want to volunteer, that would be awesome. But what I have to do is ask. There is a little bit of danger involved. So could the first two rows of people kind of move back a little bit or move away from this area? Okay. Okay. Thank you. I assure you that this is almost perfectly safe. Okay, Lauren, could you come up? So Lauren will be playing the game. And Lisa, could you set up the test equipment? Okay. So this game involves an iPad and the ability to essentially catch something physical with the iPad. So you're not going to wear the raincoat. That's going to work for you? Your fireman outfit? Okay, awesome. Okay, Lisa, how is the... Okay, looking good. Okay, so is the instrument ready? I think I'll stand back here. Lauren, how are you doing? Are you ready? Okay, so this has not been tested here. We just essentially took this off the airplane. So Lisa, do you want to... Oh, thank you. Okay, so this has a water balloon in it. We have no idea how far this is going to go or where it's going to go. Lauren, you ready? Lisa, you ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch. All right, go! Okay, so we may need to move the X back like a foot or maybe the trebuchet back a foot. Okay, so would anybody like their chance to win a prize? Okay. Okay, so Lauren will come around and get you. And we have, I think, about 7 or 8 prizes. So this is a trebuchet, and the reason we're using a trebuchet was the catapult was too friggin' dangerous. This has much more of a nice lob to it. They're now signing draconian releases. Good. Thank you. Anybody have questions about trebuchets? We know more than we want to about them. Or reactive surfaces on iPads so that they will react to a balloon. We did extensive testing over lunch hour about putting various kinds of fruits. We actually worked next to Berkeley Bowl in Berkeley, California. And so we tried different kinds of oranges and lemons and various fruits. And after much testing, we found out that a water balloon has a capacitive essence that, that a reactive surface needs.
How do I search to find a way?
To find what?
W-A-Y?
We have a question about the way game, but maybe we should do this first and answer that.
I'm rescued by the
factor. Okay.
The brave participant is Devin.
Okay, oh, okay, Devin, thank you very much. Okay, Devin, or, okay, you can only step back another foot or so because there's a speaker back there, so please don't, like, step back. So we've moved the trebuchet back? Okay, so you should be approximately placed, give or take a few yards. Okay, Devin, are you ready?
Yes.
Lisa, are you ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch. Whoa. Okay. Wow, what happened to the iPad? So you get a prize. Okay, where are the... Stephen, where are the prizes?
Lauren has
it. Okay.
Congratulations. We're technically...
Okay, do we have the prizes here?
Mike's got prizes.
Where are they? Okay.
I'm going to make sure this is...
Okay, we will get you a prize. But Lauren, do you know where they are? Oh, thank you. Okay, so Devin is winning this prize made in the Stupid Fun Club Mint. These were lost for hundreds of years in our basement and have recently been found. And it has a decoding, a puzzle that needs to be decoded on the back. It's a very, if you solve that puzzle, come and tell us and we'll give you another prize. But it is not easy. Okay, do we have another volunteer? Okay, who is this?
Tim.
Thank you. So when the balloons break, they hit you. They tend to like drench your entire body.
I know from experience.
Okay, Tim, are you ready? Lisa, are you ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch. Awesome. Yes, sir, good. Woo! Hey, Tim, thank you. Okay, who is next?
Chris.
Chris will be next. Okay,
is that okay?
Absolutely.
So has anyone here built a trebuchet?
I wrote this out. The one working on
it. How big? So we're actually looking for... we've gotten into the siege mentality building this, and so we're thinking making like larger ones. But is it... Oh! Incredible.
Just watch the yellow balloon come into your face.
Are you ready? It's very interesting when the balloon comes and it kind of divides like into two lobs and spins around and it almost hypnotizes you. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Lisa, are you ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch! Woo! Here, and thank you. Okay, who is next?
John.
John? Okay. Next will be John. Okay, so we launched some of these into the street in front of Stupid Fun Club, and we didn't know kind of how far they would go, and we found out that cars actually went to great lengths to avoid all the yellow balloons in the street, and then that's when we realized that by having our name on the balloons that it was maybe a liability. So it's kind of a heads up if you're doing experimenting in public streets, don't put your names on everything.
Okay. This is very precise.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Lisa, is the trebuchet ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch!
Science!
Oh, that was another try.
Alright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe slide the trebuchet back, maybe another foot or something.
It takes the side.
Okay.
Yeah.
These water balloons weigh exactly 250 grams. Lisa was in the bathroom filling them up and weighing them today. Everyone, precision weighed. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Hey, Tish, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Lisa,
yes.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch.
Oh,
we went too far back. Okay. One more try. That was our fault.
Okay.
So if we're ever crazy enough to publish this, we'll have to put like warnings, perhaps a 40-page warning manual. Okay, let's do it. It's going to happen. We're betting heavily on this. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch. And for this prize is Stupid Fun Club's current fun product for last Christmas, ants that are projected onto your ceiling and scare the heck out of you while you're partying. Signed by Will Wright.
One way to stop it. Turn it.
Hey, nice job.
Do you want it to be
spinning? Okay. What is your name?
John.
Okay. Okay, we have John here.
John wants to shoot.
He wants to shoot?
Well, I took them off because they were wet.
Oh, you lost?
So these are my dry socks.
Oh, okay.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. We hope not to get... Well, I mean, it's really up to you not to get your dry socks wet.
I'll do my best.
Okay, John, are you ready?
I'm a little nervous about it.
But you're ready. Okay, excellent. Okay, Lisa. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch! Perfect.
Set it off without touching the screen.
That
didn't. Okay, here we go.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nat.
Could you go right to this?
Okay, who is next?
Sarah?
Okay. Sarah is next. Okay.
Sarah,
are you ready?
Yes.
Lisa, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch. Everyone here seems to be much better than the Stupid Fun Club staff / test targets.
Okay.
Okay, here, there. Thank you for doing that.
Okay,
who is next?
Ralph.
Okay.
Yeah, we should hand out the.
Okay. So is Ralph our last one here?
I don't know. Do we want more?
Maybe we should.
Yeah. Well, we could do one more after this, if somebody's game.
Ask the question.
Okay. So this is our last person lined up, but we do have one more prize if anybody wants to brave the water balloon.
You don't want to do it?
Well. Okay, Ralph, are okay? Oh, he's not ready.
This is a test.
It's great having a giant suction cup under your iPad. You can actually replace your license plate with the iPad. If you just stick it over your license plate and then have the license plate number keep changing. Don't do that. I don't recommend it. Okay, Ralph, are you ready?
Yes.
Lisa, are you ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch. Oh, woo, thank you. So next year we're coming back and we're going to make this much more difficult. We have one more. Excellent.
Sean is the last contestant.
Sean? Okay.
Hey, Mike.
Anybody want? So this is the deadly weapon. So these are specially made balloons that are actually very hard to pop. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Lisa, are you ready? Okay, last one. Here it goes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch! Yay! Well, thank you all for helping with this experiment, and come back next year where it will be where we guarantee like less than 50% of the people will accomplish the task.
Mike, do we have another prize here?
Yes, we have.
Thanks.
Signed by Will. Thanks for doing this.
No problem. Well, we can have questions if you want to talk to any. I mean, why not come up? Lisa, Lauren.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah,
you're missing a lot.
Lauren and Steve.
I'm going to have to do so. They have some wonderful.
Can you come up here?
Yeah. Do you have your? They have some really stupid fun titles. Of course, I don't have the.
But just real briefly, Lauren has worked with Will Wright from his very first games. Maybe 40 games or something on your resume.
Huge.
Yes. Lauren's awesome.
Huge. Lauren Elliott. We have two Laurens here. That's Lauren Elliott. Steve Golan just came. He's our landlord, but he has a furniture shop that robotically makes our furniture for us and for others. We have a question? And apparently he has a fan base. Okay. His company is Swerve. Okay, this is Lauren Winter. She is does real-time computing and is developing a lot of physical things for the tablet. We have a lot of ideas of using tablets in non-traditional ways. And this is Lisa Winter, and she is working on quantitative self and Bluetooth 4 and acquisition of data for the various physical geo games that we're inventing. Thank you. Yeah, and she fills like precision balloon filler. So thank you very much for helping us.
And any questions? Don't go away. No.
Thank you.